Luke 7, verse 36. But one of the Pharisees begged him that he would eat with him. Entering into the house of the Pharisee, he took his place at table. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and knew that he was sitting at meat in the house of the Pharisee, having taken an alabaster box of myrrh, and standing at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the myrrh. And the Pharisee who had invited him, seeing it, spoke with himself, saying, This person, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what the woman is who touches him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And he says, Teacher, say it. There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. But as they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. Say, which of them therefore will love him most? Simon answering said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, Thou hast rightly judged. Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me not water on my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me not a kiss, but she, in the time I came in, has not ceased kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with myrrh. For which cause I say to thee, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much, but he to whom little is forgiven loves little. And he said to her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that were with them at table began to say within themselves, Who is this who forgives also sins? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. John's Gospel, chapter 14. John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will beg the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him nor know him. But ye know him, for he abides with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I am coming to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no longer. But ye see me, because I live, ye also shall live. In that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas, not the Iscariot, says to him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not does not keep my words, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but that of the Father who has sent me. Chapter 21, verse 15. John 21, verse 15. When therefore they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Shepherd my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Art thou attached to me? He said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. Jesus says to him, Feed my sheep. I've been speaking in the reading, I hope you'll all remember, about the love of Christ. I say that because it's so easy to miss what we've been speaking about. Spirit is a great help, brings to our remembrance certain things. So we need the Spirit, we need his service, not only in speaking, but in hearing, and certainly in retaining. Love of Christ, dear brethren, is unique. It's been proved to us in a remarkable way. It's been proved to us, demonstrated to us in his death, and in his burial, and in his rising again. It's been proved to us right down to 1989. Love of Christ hasn't failed. And I'll make a bold statement, it will never fail. You can always be bold in regard to saying things about the Lord Jesus, because he never fails. Look at ourselves. We're all failures. God has worked in grace, brought in recovery, brought in healing, brought in blessing. I'm not exactly going to preach the gospel. Luke 7 has other applications rather than the gospel. But if there is anyone here tonight who hasn't a link with the Lord, then I would say now is a very good time just to have to do with him. He's worthy of it. This woman, well known, well spoken of, oft spoken of, one of the emphatic women of Scripture. You know, these she's is emphasized in what the Lord has to say to her. He delights to draw attention to her. There are other women in John's Gospel too, which he draws attention to. They become noteworthy, and I believe too in experience they become part of our soul history. Do you know anything about soul history? You may know history from 0 BC and right under now, and you might know 1066 and all that, but what have you got in the way of soul history? What does soul history mean? It means experience with God. It means that we're interested in progressing and growing spiritually. And I would think, dear brethren, that all of us need just to be maintained in simple desire that our days may not be frittered away, but they may be fruitful as under God, taking it up. There's an interesting scripture which says, keep yourselves in the love of God. You may wonder just how we're going to do that. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You may say, well, God's towards me in blessing and he's favourable. That's his sovereign side, isn't it? The side of responsibility. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It'd be a great preservative, wouldn't it? Daily walking in the knowledge of God and his affections and his grace towards us. Every step of the pathway, keep yourself in the love of God. What a preservative that would be from breakdown and failure. Keep yourselves in the love of God. And praying in the Holy Spirit too. And a service that blessed Spirit is, linking us with our own weakness here and being a source of power and strength. Luke 7 is well known, as I say, brings out love for Christ. Can you fit yourself into this chapter? Could you fit yourself in with Simon? Maybe we could. But Simon's not in the blessing, is he? He's not in the richness of the liberty that Christ has come in to bring in. Interesting comment in CAC as to Luke 15. He says, I think perhaps we ought to preach more the elder brother rather than the younger son. Or the elder son rather than the younger son. It's so difficult. It's easy, isn't it, to relate everything to ourselves and be occupied with ourselves. We need to be liberated, particularly from the claims of position or claims of brethrenism and all that sort of thing, just to be delivered and brought into the liberty of what Christ would bring in. So this woman is a very interesting person. She finds her way, makes her way into Simon's house. She had a resolve to be there. There would be everything to keep her out from one standpoint, but everyone, blessed person there to draw her in, bring her in. So she comes in with a sense of her need. She comes in with a purpose and she fulfills the purpose. She comes into blessing. Says that she came with something too. Says the woman of the city was a sinner, knew that he was sitting at meat in the house of the Pharisee, having taken an alabaster box of myrrh. I don't think the alabaster box of myrrh was lying around in Simon's house. I think it was something which she had just for that occasion. She used it in relation to the Lord. I wonder what place he took at the table. Says he took his place. He said he took his place at table. What place would you give him at your table? What place is he in our households, dear brethren? Took his place at table. There's a little booklet written by someone in America. Who he is and who he's with, I don't know. How could you let your children or yourself be occupied with television and then turn around immediately and say, let us read the scriptures? First of all, people have got television and radio in their houses, Are they letting him take his place at table? Dear brethren, I think you'd find it very practical that you can't suddenly turn off a switch and then hope for the opening up of the Word of God, opening up of the Scriptures, to bring in what is an influence for good. Who are you going to let preside at your table? You know what happened later in the Gospel, don't you? Took the house father's place. I think every one of us in our households, the younger brethren thinking of getting married this year, may God bless them, let him take his place at their tables. Let the conversation, let the influence flowing from the house be for spiritual profit. He took his place at table. He's got a right to come in and take his place. Let him have it. Let him be supreme in all our households. May it be for blessing. Some of us are humbled, and rightly so, with what has happened in our households. But God is very gracious. And I believe as we supplicate him in prayer, we can expect recovery and hope for it. That the persons who were baptized to the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit in the faith of their parents will yet in God's own time be brought to answer to it. So we pray for that. Thou and thy house. I believe that's an urgent matter every day for every one of us. Not just publicly Monday night, but let us, we parents and grandparents, let us take it on daily. Now, he took his place at table. What a place it was. It meant blessing. It meant blessing for the woman. Could have meant blessing for Simon. But this woman comes in with a sense of her need, and she came freighted with her guilt. She felt her guilt. She was a sinner, and she knew it. I think, dear brethren, that don't want to be occupied with our sins. I think we want to be magnify the grace that has brought us into deliverance and brought us help. It says, she loved much. It says too that her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. He to whom little is forgiven loves little. I believe a sense of mercy and a sense of grace deepens our appreciation for the love of the Lord Jesus. You remember it was Paul who was writing of what he'd been, insolent, overbearing man, persecutor. Mercy was shown me. Mercy was shown me. I think if you look back over our histories, most of us will be able to say, mercy was shown us. Thank God for it. Why does he show mercy? So that we might become as lovers of Jesus and committed to his interests. As Mr. Truster has said, you know, you get a touch of this at the supper. From the time I came in, she has not ceased kissing my feet. How real that is. The time he came in, not ceased kissing the feet. Ah, what it is to give an answer to the heart of Christ. Is there someone here tonight? Is there a believer, lover of the Lord Jesus, who's not yet answered to his own claims, his own desires? This woman would have been ready, very ready, wouldn't she, to take her place at the supper. This do for remembrance of me. That's the way to show it. We can show it individually in our appreciation. Let us show it collectively. A love for the Lord Jesus. Greater love hath no man than this. The love of the Lord Jesus. One thing about love is it's reciprocal. You may say, well, that's a long word. It's reciprocal, that is. It creates an answer. The love in Christ to his own should create an answer in you to himself, so that love is reciprocal. It flows both ways in that sense. His love always the greater, his love absolutely reliable. Our love oft times loads, ebbs and flows, but his love remains the same. And dear brethren, tonight I would just like to feel that our love for Christ might be stimulated, might be a greater return on our part. What do we bring? Says she's taken an alabaster box of myrrh. I think it would enter into the way he was going. Father referred this afternoon, his face set steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. Think of him, O Lord, thy face was set steadfastly. Mr. Milner's hymn, onward to the cross. That's where he was going. Toil and grief and loss, the man of sorrows wends his way, the sufferings of Jesus. Have you read it? You read it recently, J&D's, the sufferings of Jesus, sufferings of Christ. Ah, what treasures there are, what unfoldings. Suffering way. You appreciate it. You may say, well, I would like an outward show and an outward display. Ah, no. The day of display is a little bit ahead. We're not quite there yet. Soon it will be time of suffering at the present time. And she has an appreciation of the one who was the supreme sufferer. Blessed Saviour. didn't have to tell you who he is, would you? The supreme sufferer. One supreme in love, supreme in suffering, supreme in devotion, supreme in everything. Is he supreme in our hearts? Is he supreme in our lives? This woman, through the sense of what she had done for him, what he had done for her, brought in to be a lover of the Lord Jesus. Standing at his feet behind him weeping. At his feet behind him, a lowly place. Place where you get some appreciation of where his feet was going. His feet were going steadily onward to the cross. There to take up the great matter of God's will. Take up the matter of my sins. Deal with the matter of sin too. Deal with it everything. Blessed man, never turned aside, never failed in anything that he took up. None of us can say that, can we? Think of how when you're young you think, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and aspire to things and all falls down. Some of us, you know, lived through a war, 1939 to 1945. We have perhaps great ideas in those early days, formative days. I was 20, 21, that sort of thing. And you had plans. And suddenly, war broke out, and those plans were finished. Called up into the army, 6 years. Wondered if we were going to get out. Sometimes, 6 years. You know. 6 years of waste? No. 6 years of experience with God. God bringing us through. Wonder what you would do if you were called up. If war was declared tomorrow, would you have a conscience about it? Would every young brother, every young sister, just know where they are in relation to God? This woman would know. Love for Christ would say, I want to be here, devoted to him. You may say, well, things look pretty peaceful. Well, thank God for it. But nevertheless, the exercises created with being in the pathway of the Lord still continue. So they say, well, join a union. You're going to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm already in a union, united to Christ. How can I be united to someone else? No, some other body. Face these matters, and that's where you get substance in your soul. It's where the Spirit helps you, and you get confirmation. Got another name, giving your hand to the loaf, breaking bread in fellowship not with the world, in fellowship with the lovers of the Lord Jesus. Be true to it. So, calling the armed forces, sorry, I can't go, can't take up arms. We have to go before a tribunal. Judge and four other men there. State your cause, state your claim. Someone to speak for you too. Oh, the value of local brethren, be able to speak for you. Someone who knows you knows what to say. A brother here knows something about it, facing a trade unions. Good to have someone to be able to speak for him. These are practical matters, brethren, that have gone through these things. The brunt of the thing was broken in the 1914-18 war. I make no excuse about that. Quite clear. 1945, 1939 to 45 was in that sense much easier. The brunt of it was born in the First War. Second war we came into blessing, but the way was kept open, says of the Lord, you know, set before thee an open door, and those doors are open still. Door for conscience, not only the military service. I hadn't thought about this at all, but these are matters which come into the gaining of experience with God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, be practical. This woman, she was showing her affection for the Lord Jesus, the one who done so much for her. You may say, you hadn't done it yet. Ah, but she knew the pathway he was going. There's a lot in Scripture which is anticipative. John 17 is anticipative. I have completed the work which they gave us me to do. Yet he hadn't gone to the cross, but in one sense it was finished. And there it was, the actuality of it. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Can we lift up our eyes to heaven and say, Father? Father who knows all about us. Father is a name of relationship. Great word of this dispensation, Father. Those who love the Lord Jesus, they love the Father, and the Father loves them. And you'll see them through, you'll see us all through. You don't want to be doubting Daniels or doubting persons at all. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This woman came into blessing. She had appreciation of the feet, spoken about the ear. Think of the mouth of Jesus. What words came from his mouth? Think of the feet of Jesus. Think of the hands of Jesus. You think of the side of Jesus. You think of his head. Ah, what a blessed person he is. What contemplation there is. There from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flowed mingled down. Why was it? It was for God. It was for us. Well, let us love him more. Let our lives be more committed to this one who's committed himself entirely, 100% to the will of God. Your brethren in this room, a little bit more committed with each one of us. There are many of us, older ones, on the way. We proved him a well-known love. He never failed us. Oh, what a man he is. You couldn't say that about any other man. Father may love you, your mothers love you, you couldn't say that they've never failed you. Ah, but there's one who's never failed us. Father's love, the love of the Christ and the love of the Spirit. Let's keep ourselves in the enjoyment of divine favour. This woman came into it and she gave him a kiss. She kissed his feet. Ah, how she appreciated what comfort there would be to the Lord, this woman. We can be a comfort to the Lord at the present time, letting our affections flow towards him, kissing his feet. Feet that went all the way to Calvary. All the way to Calvary went for me. You love him? Everyone here love the Lord Jesus? Everyone here answering to his claims? Everyone answering to his own blessed desires? Can you come tomorrow morning with your alabaster box of appreciation? Let it go forward. Let it come forth for the Lord Jesus himself. Simon was critical, wasn't he? Ah, what it is. Preserve us from a critical spirit. Oh Lord, preserve us from a critical spirit. Let us love the saints. Let us love men too. Preserve us from criticism. How undermining critical spirit is, you know. It erodes, rusts, erosion. Comes in between brother and brother and between sister and sister and between brother and sister. Ah, what damage it causes. Oh, let's keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with the Lord. Love to all saints. And it's not just those we're linked with. It's love to all saints. A-L-L, all. Like the gospel, love to all saints. Oh, let us embrace them in our affections. Seek to help them. This woman was helped. 500 pence debtor. 500 pence debtor. Are we all prepared to come that way, dear brethren? 500 pence debtors. Would you like to assess your indebtedness? I couldn't assess my indebtedness to the Lord. This woman, she would certainly take her place as a 500 pence debtor. Poor old Simon, 50 pence debtor. No, I wouldn't even say that. Self-righteousness. Always do what I can, always do what's right. Well, the Lord says, no, you don't always do what's right. You don't even do the common courtesies of the day. Now, this woman, how he singles, this woman. Dear brethren, let us be kindled in renewed affection to the Lord Jesus. You may be able to say, looking around, this woman. Why a woman? It's what's worked out inwardly. It's what's worked out subjectively. That means inwardly. It comes into expression. This woman. Seest thou this woman? Well, I've seen her. Seen her in the saints, in the assembly. She's really a woman of worth. She's the fruit of the Proverbs. The last chapter of the Proverbs, woman of worth. I've seen her. And I love her. I seek grace to be part of her till the Lord comes. Now John 14, an interesting chapter. A few chapters of scripture aren't interesting, of course. Some of them are difficult to understand, but this is pretty clear. This is the Lord's own words. Just stop and think as to when he was speaking. These were within the last days of his being at the cross. Therefore they should have peculiar attraction to us. And the Lord is thinking about us, set their minds at rest, the beginning of the chapter. And now he's saying, you love me? Well, show that you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. And he goes on to speak about his word, his commandments and his word. And he says he'll give another comforter. Oh, what blessed provision there has been. Spirit. You make way for him. You say, well, I'm going to go off to the church. Or a chapel. But the Spirit isn't made way for there, is he? See, one man ministry doesn't make way for the Spirit at all. If you go along bearing the reproach of the Christ, be in an area where the Spirit is free, let him be free. So how do you come to the reading? Do you come with your alabaster box of myrrh for him there? And do you come too with an attentive ear? If you come as one who keep his commandments and keep his word, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a very brief sentence, isn't it? But it covers every day of our pathway. If you love me, keep my commandments. Anyone think himself to be spiritual or prophet, let him recognize the things that are right, they're the commandment of the Lord. Oh, it's only Paul. Is that what you think? It's only Paul? What does the Lord say about Paul, an elect vessel to me? I would say, dear brethren, there's room for a greater appreciation of Paul and his teaching. Read the Epistle to the Corinthians, and you read Philippians and Ephesians. Remember where it came from. It came from the prison. Doesn't that cause you to stop and think? It came from the prison. How would you be in prison? Overwhelmed, cast down, despondent. The Lord's deserted me, given me up. I'm in prison. No, not so Paul. He was there for the saints, there for Christ. Prisoner in the Lord Jesus, prisoner of Christ. What flowed out of it? Ah, all these treasures. Only Paul? Well, if you start calling out only Paul, there wouldn't be much left in the New Testament, would there? I would say, in a practical way, and I don't want to upset anybody, I would say that every sister who cuts her hair is saying it's only Paul. And that's 1 Corinthians 11. But be practical. Bear the word. Let your hair grow. It's part of your glory. Luke 7 shows it's given for a purpose. Given to be for the glory of Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. I beg the Father and he will give you another comforter. What a blessed service the comforter renders, doesn't he? How would you get on without him? Another comforter. What Christ had been in manhood down here to his own. We were speaking about the disciples and how he gathered around them, how he gathered them around him, and how he went through, you have persevered with me. And now the Spirit here, another comforter. All that Christ was, the Spirit now to be. How we're set up, dear brethren. Not only ourselves, but you think, when I say dear brethren, it's just what's available. I would say it's for all the saints, another comforter. Strength and support, inward help. Greater is he that is in you, than he that is in the world. You want to be an overcomer? Make way for the Spirit. Let the Spirit be seen in your life. Be attentive to what the Spirit says too in these days. Let the washing of water by the word have its own effect on each one of us. There may be more of those features of glory for the heart of Christ. Blessed promises there are, aren't there? He that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Do you have that experience? If you don't get that experience of a real manifestation of the Lord to yourself, just see where your affections are. Are you keeping his word, keeping his commandments? Are you walking in the light as he is in the light? Blessed provision for every failure, every breakdown. Pathway, dear brethren, of glory, path of the just as a shining light which groweth more and more till the day be fully come. And it says here, if anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him, make our abode with him. Now what solace, what comfort that is. Day of breakdown, day of failure, the divine promises, the divine word still continues. So it is as we're together, we know what it is to have something of the divine present, not making any claim whatsoever, just enjoying the liberty into which the Lord has brought us, that our affections might flow out freely and unhinderedly to him, and increasingly so. He that loves me not does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who has sent me. These things I have said to you, abiding with you. Ah, how faithful is the love of Christ. Oh, dear brethren, may our hearts be stimulated and our affections be stimulated in greater affections toward him. So I thought of John, Peter. I like Peter. Jacob in the Old Testament, Peter in the New. I see P-A-W there. Jacob, failure. Peter, bold, and yet has to be brought low. Jacob ends up a worshipper and a blesser. That's a fine way to finish, isn't it? Would you like to end up that way? What experiences they were. They were turned to account too. He wasn't always thinking about his wages towards the end. He'd had them changed 10 times. You know, always demanding year after year, year after year. Must have something more. Ah, Jacob's come now. Comes now to speak about the God who shepherded me all the way through. What a God he is. And half the troubles, you know, in the world will be settled if they came this way. Man always wanting more. Yet God, the giver of every good thing, let us accept it in piety. Enjoy the favour of God. Let us be kept in the spirit of demand which marks this age. Let us be kept in the spirit of giving which marks the Lord Jesus. And he says something to say to Peter. They dined. They had a good meeting. Good food. And at a time of breakdown, a time of nothing. You felt like that in your own soul, toiled and all right, absolutely hopeless. Get to the Lord about it. Have a fresh touch of his glory. Fresh sense of the one who never fails us. It's lovely to look back, isn't it, say the Lord's never failed us. He never failed his church. He's never failed any lover of himself. And he won't. He'll keep us right. And he'll have us finally, eventually, like himself, you know, in that realm of glory. That's what we're heading for. Maybe tonight. You ready? Ready to go up? And not to come down with a crash. How solemn these things are, aren't they? How many shooting stars and falling stars, persons who were prominent, where are they now? Where are we now? Our affections for Christ more firm than they were 30 years ago? Do you love him more tonight than you did 12 months ago? Do you love him more tonight than you did last week? Just ask yourself. And just tell him in his own blessed presence that he's worthy of a greater committal on your part. And be prepared to give him. And you've got something to do. Peter, you've got something to do. Oh, I'll do anything. Ah, yes, you'll be regulated. Be regulated by the Lord's own blessed word. Peter, feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. Well, the saints need food. The lambs need food. The sheep need shepherding. The sheep need feeding. I ask again, how do you come to the local reading? You come with something. I don't mean you've read it all up in the books, but you've certainly read the scripture before you come to the meeting. I know time is difficult. I know there's demands upon time. You may have to rush in, but seek to be with the Lord before you come. Be practical. You haven't got to speak to the Lord for 10 minutes to ask him to grant help in the reading. It can almost be like an SOS, cry for help. We need help tonight, Lord. And the Spirit too. But if the saints need food, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Now there's room for shepherding, isn't there? Room for recovery, isn't there? You think of this place, this city. I suppose it's a city almost, Croydon. You think of it. Think of what it was 30 years ago. I was local next door, Wallington, just over 30 years ago. You wonder what's happened. Is there room for any shepherding? Is there room for any recovery? Is there any exercise? There might be recovery. Shepherd my sheep and feed my sheep. Now, dear brethren, it's really all I had to say. It's really challenges each one of us as to how much we love the Lord, how much we love his people, how much we're prepared to commit ourselves. Are we ready to lay down our lives for the brethren? Blessed example, Christ has laid down his life for us, thank God. Let us be in this spirit then of seeking the promotion of what is spiritual in each one of us, helping us through our difficulties. There'll be exercises all the way through. I'm no prophet of gloom, but through the exercises God will bring to light his own work. Let us be subject. Let us seek to promote what is spiritual in our gatherings, in our homes too. There may be more for the heart of Christ, more for the service of God. I think one of the present attacks, you know, is on the service of God. And I believe the theme of the brother was asking me in the interval about the chief musician. Who is he? Who do you think the chief musician is? I think it's Christ. In the midst of the assembly will I hymn thee. Oh dear brethren, he needs a vessel able to sing his praise, able to be available in which he can sing the praises of his God and Father. Ah, let us maintain things in simplicity and in humility, suitable to the Lord. Let us not assume his presence. Let us make way for him to come in amongst us. And let us give him a welcome. And let us be available to him.